The Chicago Marathon is set for this Sunday, October 22nd. By my count, it will be the Windy City's 28th. In this portion of the program, we'll take a look at the marathon. My guest is Andrew Suazo. He's a professor of modern languages at DePaul. He's a runner, and he's the author of The Chicago Marathon. The book, published by the University of Illinois Press, is a history of the race. It is also an examination of the phenomenon of the marathon. Andrew Suazo, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
It's my pleasure.
Will you be running Sunday?
Unfortunately, no. I have an injury.
Part and parcel of the life of a runner, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. How many people will take part?
Well, there are 40,000 people registered, and everyone hopes that all of them will actually run the race. But if history holds true, it will be somewhere in the lower 30,000.
Oh.
But it's hard, you know, you can't really say. We'll know when the race is over.
How has this event evolved since 1977? It's now a major international race.
It evolved from being a very local grassroots movement, a race that was created largely by a small group of very committed amateur runners who had to sort of negotiate with the city authorities and who really didn't know much about sponsorship. Fortunately, there was a mecenas in there who came along, Lee Flaherty, who actually funded the first marathon, which otherwise would have gone bankrupt. But this small group evolved very quickly once Beatrice stepped in as sponsor. Even by the late 80s and by the late 70s and early 80s, the race was one of the largest in the country, even in the world, and world records were broken. With the change in sponsorship, Beatrice abandoned it, and in 1987, if I recall, the race wasn't even held. Then it revived with Heilman Brewing. They left, and in the early 90s, the race had a bit of difficulty, but once LaSalle came in, about 93, the race started, really picked up speed. It became an immense national event, and it has expanded to its current 40,000 registrations.
Yeah. Now, how many world-class athletes will run?
Oh, quite a few. I would say I'm sitting down counting the list, and, you know, we're talking about 20 people in each field, and, you know, with about 5 people who really have a chance of winning.
Yeah.
It's amazingly small, the number of people who really are the serious contenders for victory.
Yeah. Now, the people who come from far away to take place in this marathon, why do they come to Chicago?
For a number of reasons. One, it has a very rich purse. It's one of the richest of all marathons. Two, it's one of the most prestigious of all marathons. And three, it's a place where world records have been broken on a number of occasions, both for men and women. So it's very hard to find a flat course like Chicago. There are only a few in the world that professionals choose to break world records.
Yeah, and at this time of the year, the weather is pretty good for runners, isn't it?
Yes. It all depends. If it's windy, it will be a disaster. But if it actually just stays cool, gray, and just generally overcast and calm, it should be an excellent day for running.
Yeah, I don't know about the wind, but the forecast is for cool and damp weather.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope it doesn't rain.
Yeah. In the first sentence in your book, in chapter one, classical antiquity knew no such race as the marathon. We really don't have time to go into that. But here's the question. Why has the marathon become such a phenomenon in our age?
I think, actually, since the late 60s and well into the 70s, with the fitness movement, running became identified often by more affluent Americans as a sport one should participate in, something that represented health. Tied to that, we had a value shift. I think at one point we looked at athletics uniquely as an expression of excellence. The marathon very rapidly came to represent inclusion, which meant the floodgates were open. Anybody who really wanted to run it could do so. There are other issues, too. I think training for the marathon itself is emblematic of the urban elite. The training itself sort of mimics their lifestyle. It's long-term. It's deferred gratification, it's highly disciplined, and it's realizing individual goals. So I think that sort of fit into a certain mentality. Other things that were very important were, among other factors, were was the entry of women into the marathon in the 80s and the general impact of Title IX that swelled the ranks of runners. Women are about 43% of the Chicago Marathon now. And also, I think among the aging population, there's a desire to prove oneself, to say, I'm not ready for the armchair. And that's invited a whole older group of people, from people turning 40, 50, and maybe even 60, to test themselves running the marathon. Yeah.
It's the gym writ large.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. There's a wonderful photo, one of the photos in the book, of some spectators at the 2003 marathon. There was a theme that year, Oz.
Mm-hmm.
This suggests that it is more than just the folks who are running.
Mm-hmm.
There are people on the sidelines as spectators, and there's a bit of a carnival atmosphere here. When did that become part of the marathon?
Well, the marathon carnival features were developed very early. Beatrice used to pay groups of people. They had dancers perform, and essentially they went out and bought entertainment. But as the marathon evolved, and when Kerry Pinkowski became race director, he tried very hard to recruit local running groups, neighborhood groups, to actually staff the aid stations. And in many cases, each of these aid stations has taken on a character of its own. The picture you're referring to is the picture of the front runner's aid station, which usually wins the prize for the most extravagant and extraordinary costuming and entertainment in general. And the aid station volunteers tend to be people who are very, very loyal to the marathon. Most of them do it year in and year out, on an annual basis with great enthusiasm. And they're actually only a small part of the people on the streets, because you're talking about 1.2 million people who watch the marathon. There are something like 17 aid stations, and they average about 300 people per station. So I wouldn't say small, but it's a minority of very enthusiastic people.
Mm. Every year, is there a theme?
These themes are determined by the water stations, the aid stations themselves. It's not the marathon that sets it. This year, the station that chose Oz as its theme is going to do, I think, cowboys and cowgirls, so that should be very interesting.
Well, have a great time.
Oh, thank you.
From the sidelines, unfortunately, but nonetheless, have a great time.
Thank you very
Andrew,
much.
Thank you for talking with me this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
Andrew Suazo is the author of The Chicago Marathon. The book, published by the University of Illinois Press, is a history of the race, also an examination of the phenomenon of the marathon. As I mentioned, by my count, this Sunday, October 22nd, will be the Windy City's 28th marathon, except for 1987. The marathon has been run every year since 1977.